In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're on volume 22, July 1st, 1927. And in this talk, we're going to see the suffering that Luisa went through and what we're going through. We have to understand that in this life, there is the cross, and Jesus says, this is our life. The cross is our life. And what the Lord is asking of us is to, by wanting to be victim souls, by wanting to live in this great gift of the divine will, this cross that God has given us, the sufferings that we have to go through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings, are our life. And we're going to get a glimpse of what Luisa went through and what we go through. There's a similarity there. So she says in volume 22, July 1st, 1927, my adorable Jesus hides more and more. Okay. In our life, we're searching for Jesus. Jesus says this. He says, I'm returning for those who eagerly await my return. Those who are eager to see him and be with him. And one of the things that's so important is that we prepare ourselves to see Jesus. We're going to see him sooner or later at that moment, whether he returns physically or if we die, we're going to see Jesus, and we have to be ready. We have to prepare ourselves for this visit with Jesus. So what the Holy Church gives us is through Jesus Christ is the Blessed Sacrament. We see God when we look at Jesus in the monstrance. We see God. Our eyes, it says, no man can see God and live. Our eyes, our senses are becoming more alive to know Jesus, love Jesus, serve Jesus, possess Jesus. And so what the Lord is doing as Catholics for us is he's preparing us so that we will see him. And I mean, really see our Lord, not in a mystical way, but in a real way. And that's how Jesus appeared to Luisa. This was not a vision. It's not a locution. It's not an apparition. She actually was with Jesus in a way that the Blessed Mother was with Jesus, because in the divine will, there's no time or space. And so we have to get ready for what God is going to do. And one day the church will explain this to us, what this life that Luisa possessed, why she is the newborn, why she is the firstborn. And so Jesus hides more and more. When there is something very important to our God, our Savior, our Lord, he keeps it hidden. And the reason is he doesn't want to hear from us a no. So he hides. It's a secret. It's a beauty that is going to be revealed fully, but the Lord hides himself. For example, the greatest secret is the Holy Eucharist in the Holy Catholic Church. We have and we can see God, and yet the churches are empty. The candle that's lit near the tabernacle says to us that Jesus is present. Jesus is here. And so what happens in churches? We've come to the point of having fellowship rather than sacred silence. We have this talking in front of our Eucharistic Lord, where he wants to talk to us. And he talks to us silently. He talks to us in a hidden manner. And we have to learn what this is. We have to stay with our Lord, be with our Lord, our Eucharistic Lord, and begin to hear him in his way of speaking, which is silence. And it's very powerful. It's very loud. Once you begin to hear the Lord, maybe not with your ears, but with your heart, your mind, your soul, he speaks to us in such a powerful way, especially reading the volumes, that we become acutely aware of how much he loves us. So my adorable Jesus hides more and more. And even when I am writing, even while we are reading, the Lord is speaking to us. And he tells Louisa that each word that he dictates to Louisa is to have us hear him as he speaks. And that word that we read the first year, when we read that word the second year, God expands our capacity. But we have to discipline ourselves to be with our Lord. We have to discipline ourselves to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, and wanting to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. At first, you know, this is the thing that happens. People say, well, what do we do? What should I read? How do I keep myself busy? And that's not what we're supposed to be doing in front of our Eucharistic Lord. We're supposed to be looking at him and adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. This is what the rounds are. As you learn your rounds, you learn how to pray the rounds, as Jesus taught Louisa. What happens is you it's always an I love you. If you read yesterday's readings in the calendar, I remember when we were copying the writings, that passage came up and it was all in Italian, and I'm copying it, photocopying it. And all I said was, I saw it. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I said, what is this about? Why is Louisa constantly saying to Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. It was all on the page. And when she wrote, you know, the one thing that was very interesting about her printing, her writing, when she wrote, I love you, it was larger. You know, she was writing down her I love you in bold, with more boldness, with more firmness in her writing. A lot of times when she would write fiat, she would write fiat and then circle it and make the F really fancy and then the lines underneath. She was just like, it was life to her. And in her writings, you could see this in her printing. So here she says, Jesus hides more and more. Even when I am writing, I no longer feel his light as I used to do almost until now, whispering. See, Jesus's voice is very silent. It's hardly a whisper. What's happening? Whispering to me the necessary words about what Jesus wanted me to write. It's the same thing for us. Jesus is whispering the words to us necessary to what he wanted us to read. See, each day he wants to talk to us more. Each day, when I hear Jesus say, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll reveal to you all truths and remind you of everything that I have said. This to me is the book of heaven. Because every day, Jesus is expanding our capacity to hear him, to listen to him. And each word that he says to us, he keeps on expanding. He keeps on filling it with more and more and more. This void that's in our life, he says, this emptiness that we have, it's for him. And he wants fill this void, this light, this life, this love of God, it within us. That's why he created us in his image and likeness, to possess God. So this is a great blessing. But again, this is painful for Louisa, and it's painful for us, not to the extent that Louisa went through. We just get a glimpse of what she went through. But again, it's the same thing. Jesus hides more and more, even when I'm reading. I no longer feel his light as I almost do until now, whispering to me the necessary words about what he wanted me to read. And he's hiding in a way that we will, as Jesus says, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. I mean, ask and you'll receive it. He's saying, I want you to seek me. I want you to draw closer to me. And again, this is the thing that's so amazing, is that you want to read every day. You want to read I love reading the calendar every day. And then Virgin Mary and the Kingdom every day. You know, the Hours of the Passion every day. When you're entering, and it's not the whole thing. It's a paragraph maybe, or a line. Jesus wants to speak to us. And it's not just to be sitting and reading the entire day, but reading and then putting it into practice. When whatever you're doing, whatever your work is to put it into practice so that we can draw closer and closer to him. He has great, great plans, and he's whispering to us the necessary words which he wants us to read. This is a great time to be alive. What God is going to bring about is a new beginning for mankind. And he's giving us the way and the how this is going to happen. That's why everything seems to be falling apart. But it's really not falling apart. He's getting everything ready. He's closing the doors of certain situations. And why? Because he's opening the door to the kingdom. The kingdom is going to be opened. And Jesus says to Louisa, you must be the key that will open this door. What is that? As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, Jesus is teaching us the way and the how he's going to do it. And he's going to use this newborn, this human who has the life of the Son of God and the Mother of God, Theotokos, the Mother of God. She is the firstborn who possesses this gift. And now God wants to give this gift to all the world. And he says it's very, very close. So when we listen to Our Lady at Akita says, either we get ready for this, or this fire that's coming from heaven, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, this love of God, if we're not with God, it will be like fire from heaven. It will be a wailing and grinding of teeth, because we're not in union. We're not one with Christ, Jesus, and our mother, Mary. And like, that's Our Lady of Akita. Then you read Our Lady of La Salette. She says the same thing. You read Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes. Everything is getting us ready for the return of her son. As Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion is divine mercy before I return. So the final devotion has been given to the Holy Church. And this is what we pray every day, usually around 3 o'clock, remembering Jesus, I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. This hiding of Jesus is not going to last for much longer. We're going to experience the Lord and what the Lord has planned, and all the world will rejoice. All mankind who love, who are expecting Jesus, anticipating Jesus's return, all the world will rejoice. And those that don't want the Lord, again, wailing and grinding of teeth. Listen to what Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno. She said, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. The new era is going to begin. What is the new era? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. So he's teaching us the way and how this is going to happen. And again, we know the devil has been banished from heaven. When heaven comes to earth, the devil will be banished from earth. That's the new era that's coming. Can you imagine what this is going to be like? To live the life that God originally planned, that he breathed into Adam, the image and likeness of God. That's all coming back. So the Lord is getting us ready. And he's saying, you can have it as much as you want or as little as you want. He says, I want you, just as what Jesus says to Louisa, and he says it in sacred scripture, to have more I want you to have abundant life. But if our desire is 10%, God says, then I'll give you 10% if that's all you want. So again, he's looking at us. He's testing us. He's asking us to turn to him. So he's whispering to us the necessary words that he wants us to read. For one word alone that Jesus has spoken to Louisa in a little visit, that's what's happening. He's visiting us every day. He's speaking to us every day. And he wants us to get ready. He would make to my soul this little visit he would make to my soul as we read in the act of writing, she says, but in the act of reading for us, he would whisper to me so many of them in my interior to the point of making his most sweet voice resound on my lips. You see what's happening? As we read, we begin to speak it. See, the divine will is to reign in the midst of creatures. That's what Jesus says he wants right now. In the midst of your family. Your family doesn't want to read Louisa. Your family wants nothing to do with Louisa. Your neighbors want nothing to do with Louisa. Your coworkers want nothing to do with Louisa and the divine will, this great gift of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. Your parishioners don't want it. So Jesus says, I want the divine will in the midst of creatures. So what's happening? As you read this, you begin to speak it. That's what's happening. He says, this whisper of so many times into my interior to the point of making his most sweet voice resound on my lips. We echo. This is the echo book. We learn how to pray in the divine will. We know how to begin to, excuse me, echo these words of God. And it's Jesus. He's doing that. So when you're with your family, you're talking about God. And again, it's not, you know, you've got to read this. It's just what's coming. What's coming is the kingdom. How happy we are now, but how happy we're going to be when the kingdom is revealed, when the kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven. And you say what do you say to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners? The echo of what Jesus said, not making up your prayers, but echoing what Jesus said. That's what she says, resounding on my lips. And she says, this is what God is asking of us to begin to echo. So it's not, I think Jesus said, but this is what Jesus says. And you don't even have to say that when somebody says, oh, doom and gloom, goes, hey, the kingdom's coming. It's going to be great. How can you say that the kingdom is coming? That's the fact. That's what's coming. How happy we are knowing that this is going to happen. There's no worry. There's no fear. There's no anxiety. There's no complaints. There's no negativity to the point of there's no more sin. This is what's coming. So Jesus says, you must be the yeast in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your coworkers, in the midst of your parishioners. Why? He says, everyone else is the flower. They haven't read this. They don't want to read it. They haven't got time for this. While we are focusing on these words of Jesus, this life of Jesus, this life of Our Lady that was given to Louisa. And we say to those around us, we're the yeast, remember. You don't need a lot of yeast. So again, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, your relatives, your friends don't want this. So you speak this peace, this joy, this happiness of heaven to them. I mean, this doom and gloom, it's hilarious. You know, everybody, what do? They say, I want to be a victim soul. Then when God says, okay, here's your cross, they go, doom and gloom. It's like, come on, knock it off. You know, God is in charge. You know, it's not to be the flower. I mean, how much, if you have a loaf of bread, how much yeast do you need to make a loaf of bread? Not much. And that's us. Jesus says, remember what he said to the apostles? Excuse me. He says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Why? It was death. But Jesus says to Louisa, the most important thing to me is the yeast. And that's the first children of the divine will. Since Louisa until now, this is all the first children living in the holy divine will. We're not there fully because that great day hasn't happened yet when it will be given to all the world. Jesus is saying to us, you have to proclaim heaven by the way you live. This is the yeast. This is bringing leaven to your family, leaven to your community. God's got great plans. And he's asking us, are you willing to take on this mission that I've given to Louisa? Are you willing to begin to live this abundant life in this time of everybody saying doom and gloom? It's peace, it's joy, it's happiness. That's why our Lord is saying this. Is the Lord resounding on your lips? Is the Lord resounding in your eyes? Is the Lord resounding in your ears? Is the Lord resounding with your heart? Is the Lord resounding with your breath? Is Jesus there? Image and likeness. Again, image comes through holy baptism. Likeness comes by reading the book of heaven. And as you read it, there's no other way. If you're really reading, there's no other way than becoming in God's image and likeness. As you read this, as you study this, since the catechism isn't really being taught, Jesus is teaching us the catechism as we read. He's teaching us the dogma and doctrine of our faith in a very simple way. And this book is for the little children in the holy divine will. And as we read this, we are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. God is going to do this. So he says very, very clearly, and Louisa says, she says, everything that Jesus says, I could not manage to write them all. He keeps on expanding our capacity. The next day, it's more than what we just went through. Tomorrow, it's going to be more of what God wants to give us. It's never going to end. For all eternity, he's going to expand our capacity. And we enter into that eternal now that St. Thomas Aquinas talks about, which is the awe of God. Awe for all eternity. Who is this great God of ours? Who is he where he's showering us with his love, his light, his love, his life? Who is this God? He's our Father, and he wants us to be in his image and likeness. So again, what's coming is so amazing. So she says this, and now everything is a struggle. Everything is a strain. Everything is poverty, poverty of light, poverty of words, of the necessary terms. That's the same thing with us as we're reading. We're not grasping it completely yet. We're getting little bits and pieces of this word that Jesus is speaking to us. And again, it's a struggle at time. We're learning this language of heaven. It becomes more and more part of our life. It's like, you know, going to a foreign land, walking in and trying. I mean, just think of the North American martyrs. You know, they had to learn the language of the natives. And again, they had to learn it. And then they had to take the gospels and relate it to them in their terms. And see, that's what's coming. What's coming is we're going to be fluent in this language of heaven. That's what Jesus is doing. He's teaching us. He's leading us, guiding us, where your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners are not fluent in this. And when they first hear you, this is the part that's so amazing. When they first hear you, it's like us talking color. Red, green, blue, orange, pink, turquoise to colorblind people. Black and people only see black and white and gray. And you're talking about the divine will and you're going yellow and red, and because these are the words of Jesus that are filled with life and light. And people are going, what are you talking? I have no idea what you're talking about. We are going to, with human terms, explain to them what Jesus is saying from a divine perspective. And then finally, they'll say, oh, I see. That's red, isn't it? Yes, that's red. And that's yellow. And that's green. See, what's happening is God is teaching. And that's what's coming from our lips. When we're with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, at first, they're not going to want anything to do with us. You know, you're talking gibberish. You're talking, you say red? It's only gray. You're saying blue? It's only gray. You're saying yellow? It's only gray. This is what the saints have taught us. And what Jesus is going to show them through you, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, these spectacular colors, technicolor, you know, from black and white to technicolor. That's what's coming. And when this reigns on earth as it is in heaven, everyone's going to enjoy it. And that's what's coming. So Jesus says this, he's very, very clear. Or Louisa says, my poor eyes become filled with sleep. I have to make incredible efforts to be able to write. It's the same thing for us. In the beginning, incredible efforts to read. Why? There's so many other things that we want to do. Our life is filled with things of the earth. And what Jesus does is he shows us this. And once we become aware of what he is saying, all the other things of the earth don't matter. What matters is that we hear Jesus. We're with Jesus. For example, Eucharistic adoration. You know, every day we, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, should be in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day. That's what John Paul II wanted in the 80s. Every parish have Eucharistic adoration, not just for an hour a month, but every day. And what's coming? This is the best thing. We have the internet where we can go to live exposition of the Blessed Sacrament anywhere in the world. We could go there and to be with our Eucharistic Lord, to be with him, to fall in love with him. So it says, so we make an incredible efforts to be able to read a few lines. I mean, this is at first. It was tough. It's like, okay, you know, but and these efforts wear me out. They debilitate me so much that I cannot go on. Oh, how I miss he who was for me light, word, prompter, dictator, the director. He say, write down what I tell you. Read what I tell you. I want to speak to you. And he says that as you spend time with him, it becomes easier and easier to the point where it's not easy. It's your love. It becomes your life. It becomes everything. You want to read. You want every day to be with our Eucharistic Lord and our Savior, our King, our Master. Every day you want to sit down and read the Book of Heaven. He says, hey, and would give me such vigil that my eyes would not be able to close for sleep, if not when my beloved Jesus would come to take me with him. You have to understand, this is not what the saints went through. When you look at the sacrifice of Saint Teresa, the angel coming and spearing her heart with divine love, that is close, but the divine will is more than that. It's more. This is what God has planned. It's a new beginning that's coming for all the world, where our hearts, our minds, our souls are going to be one with God. And that's why she says, take me with him. Take me to heaven. But what's coming is heaven is coming to earth. Jesus says there will be no difference between those in heaven and those on earth. That's what's coming. That's the kingdom. So what when you read, my eyes would not be able to close for sleep if not when my beloved Jesus would come to take me with him to paradise, to Eden. But that's coming to earth. That's why he created the earth. He created the heavens and the earth for man so that man would have heaven on earth. And when Adam sinned, he had to leave paradise. That was the mercy of God. Otherwise, Adam would have eaten from the tree of life and we'd live like this forever. So God, in his mercy, let Adam and Eve leave paradise to be on earth. So now our bodies become old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. We become food for worms. That was not part of God's plan. But because Adam said, I'm going to do my will, not God's, God said, okay, then you have to suffer the consequences of it. But the kingdom is coming. That's why he came to earth. That's why Our Lady came to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? To bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So given all this, after I had written with incredible struggle, it's the same thing. Given all this, after we read with incredible struggle, I mean, to discipline ourselves, I was thinking to myself that maybe it was no longer will of God that when Blessed Jesus tells me something that I should write it on paper. This is what a lot of people have done in my prayer group. And we started the prayer group in 1986, and about 77 people came and went. Why? Maybe it's not the will of God that I continue to read the book of heaven. And again, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one. Once you say no to God, this is the bad part. It sticks. That's why he hides things. He doesn't want us to say no, because He, the Lord God Almighty, has a way that is not the human way. That's why he came to earth, to take this human and transform it into the divine. That's why the priest every day of Holy Mass puts the drop of water in the chalice. May we share now in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So what's interesting is when people say no, it's usually permanent. I've rarely seen people say no and then come back to read, to study, to put this into practice. It's the no that we pray people come back, but it's God says fine. It's like having a contraceptive mentality. If you think contraception is good, artificial means of birth control, God can't give you any more life. He wants to give it. So you always said no to God, no to life. And God goes, okay, you put up the barrier. I can't come in. I have to respect your decision. That's what he does with the evil one. The evil one said to the Lord in 1884, that's Pope Leo XIII heard, give me 100 years and I'll destroy your church. I'll destroy it. God says, here it is. This is what you want. See, our life is, and this is what I found too. Many people with contraceptive mentalities can't embrace the divine will. They've already said no to God. So when you say, I want, it says, no, you have to be the yeast in the midst of everyone. Being filled with peace, joy, and happiness. I mean, this is what God is really asking. So he says, but while I was thinking this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior. And again, this is essential. This is where Jesus is. He's in the interior of Louisa in a way greater than that of the saints. Why? The saints learned how to do the will of God. What Jesus and Mary taught Louisa was how to live in the will of God. This is why, as we read this, everything that the church has taught us, we go, oh yes, this is the reason why. This is the reason why Jesus taught us. Like humani vitae. What is human life? Jesus tells us this to Louisa. And because we didn't pass that test of humana vitae, what's happened today? The lowest population of children ever in the United States this year. And now with the shot and the 6,000 percentile increase in miscarriages this year compared to last year. God says, you don't want to understand what humanity is, what the human life is about? How can I give you divine life? He said that to the apostles. If you can't know about human things, natural things, what are you going to do when I teach you divine things? How are you going to embrace it? That's what the book of heaven is. It's understanding things from a divine perspective. So this interior is where Jesus lives. He always comes out from the interior of Louisa. Why? He's trying to say, this is where I want to live in you. What I've given to Louisa, I want to give to you. I want you to experience my life reigning in you, breathing in your breathing, beating in your heart beating, gazing in your gazing, listening in your listening, speaking in your speaking, walking in your walking. This is what he's saying. She says, and I was thinking of this, and Jesus came without from within my interior to sustain me, for I felt I was dying from the effort that had made in writing a little bit. Dying from the effort of I made in reading for a little bit. And he told me, my daughter, the greater a work is, the more good it must bring to the human family, the many more heroic sacrifices are needed. This is what Jesus is saying to us. The sacrifice is like victim soul, is to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts to the point of no more sin. More heroic sacrifices are needed. How many sacrifices, pain, sorrows, and even death did I, Jesus, not suffer in order to form the work of a redeemer of mankind? Because the work was great. Everything was to be great. Sorrows. This is the life of Jesus and Mary. Unheard of pains. Most infamous humiliations. Invincible love. Heroic strength. And unsurpassing patience. Everything was to be great. Because when a work is great, creatures are taken from all sides so that they may receive the good and that great work contains within itself, except for some obstinate and perfidious ones who want to escape by force, who say, no, I don't want this. On the other hand, when a work is small, great sacrifices are not required. And therefore, with a small work, not all creatures can receive the good of it. That's the life of the saints. That's why there are Dominicans and Franciscans and Benedictines. That's why there are so many religious orders. That's why some parishes are bubbling with Catholic life and other parishes are dying. Because it's depends on the soul there, whether or not they have learned from the church, from the saints, how to live this life. And that's what we've been doing for 2,000 years. We have reflected on what the saints have said. We've learned the saints' prayers. We've learned the saints' novenas. We've learned how to respond to God from what the saint has written. Now with the divine will, it's what Jesus and Mary have dictated to Louisa that she put down on paper. It's not her thought. It's the thought of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is why Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and everything that I have said. He will remind you of everything that I have said. We can read and reread and read and reread. And he keeps on expanding our capacity to hear him with our hearts, our minds, our souls. And then he says, I want you who are reading to be my voice, to be my eyes, to be my ears, to be in your family, with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your parishioners, being the yeast to bring that leaven of heaven in them by your peace, joy, and happiness. This is what it means to be a victim soul. peace, joy, and happiness. That's the consequences of being a victim soul. So when God shows you your cross and it's doom and gloom for you, you haven't learned. Jesus says it right here. What did he go through? Great sorrows, unheard of pains, great humiliations. He's asking us to say fiat. And when we say fiat, good things come. Why? Jesus has taught us. Mary has taught us. The new Adam and the new Eve. So he says, this isn't a small work. He says, what we have learned from our saints. And that's why when somebody says to me, well, I have my saint. I have St. Teresa of Avila. I have St. Clare. I have St. Francis. I don't need another saint. And that's why it was St. Father Bucci would say to us, the church is going to show us Luisa La Santa, Luisa the saint is going to be known as the saint of the church. Why? It's not about doing the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10 to become a divine mirror of Jesus. It's by living in the will of God. That's volume 11 through volume 19, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But even more than that, which has been hidden until recently, is volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. That's the kingdom of God on earth in us as it is in heaven. That's what's coming. So when we read Luisa, Jesus is speaking to us. He's trying to get us ready. Why? He says this. He says, with the saints, it's a small work. Sorry. Not all creatures can receive the good of it. In fact, since what is great is missing, that's living in the divine will. Some will not find the way. Some will lack the ground under their feet. Some will, the light. Some will lack the enrapturing force of a sacrifice and sorrowful love. That's why there's only seven, out of 7 billion people, 1 billion are Catholic. Because this is not, Jesus says, redemption, I died on the cross, shed every drop of my blood, my mother with me on Calvary. Why? To redeem mankind. Why? So that we can be sanctified. So that we can enter into the true life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. That's what they gave to Luisa. That's why we read the book of heaven. He says, Jesus says, in some few will be those who will be able to receive the good of a small work because it lacks the life. It lacks the substance to be able to give itself to whoever wants to receive it. This is the divine will. Whoever wants to receive this, this is why you're the yeast. Whoever in your family, your friends, your neighbors, who see your peace, your joy, your happiness will want to receive it. I want this. You're not doom and gloom. You're not, this is what's going to happen now. It's like, no, the kingdom's coming. This is why we are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. We listen to Jesus. We listen to Mary every day when we read what they dictated to Luisa. This is a glorious time to be alive, a magnificent time to be alive. And all that our Lord is asking us from us is, are you willing to give your fiat, your yes, to the cross that he has given you, the life that he has given you, which is to be the yeast? So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa, that all the little children hold the divine will become divinely healed, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Get ready for Sunday. Get ready for Pentecost. Great day.